This is Global Air Force with your host, Jim Rome.
Oh, praise God. It is another beautiful day. Do you know that you can meet people, quality people, in your life on Facebook? And our guest today, about 8 years ago, I began to read his posts, and my wife and I saw something in these posts. We heard something that was unique and clean, and it struck a chord in our hearts. We exchanged some emails back and forth. We made a couple of recordings. And about a year ago, no, 2 years ago, I asked Steve, "Can you give me your testimony?" And he said, "No, not yet. I don't feel that's the right time." Well, just recently, it became the right time. So today, I am pleased to present to you my friend, fellow brother, Steve Bergen from Alaska. Listen to his testimony and see if it strikes a chord with your life, your needs, about our Savior and Heavenly Father. Okay, Steve.
Well, you wanted me to talk about, if I understood what you wanted, the part of my testimony is how I walked with Jesus for a year without, before he delivered me out of, actually, you know, well over 100 to 200 demons. And I just pondered before the Lord. His presence is very strong on me right here. I didn't know I was born a seer. I didn't understand that until several years into my Christianity. And so when I grew up as a child, I would see, my first memory was hovering, you might say hovering. I was up in the air looking down on my mother and my aunts, and I was laying on the counter in the back porch of my grandparents' house, and she was changing my diaper, and I was looking out the back door, the grandparents' screen door, at the railroad tracks. And that was how my memories would be. I remember one very, very specific memory that I carried for years until Father explained it to me, was sitting in my diapers on a floor in my original parents' home living room, and there was a wooden screen TV. It had doors on it, black and white, and the doors were open, and Bing Crosby's face was on it, and he was singing, "Open Up Your Heart, Let the Sun Shine In." And I mean, that's how vividly imprinted it was. I carried that all the way through my life, and I was actually a pastor in Haines sitting in my living room one day when Father brought that to me. And I was with the Lord 14, 15 years by then. A boy spoke to me and said, "You have been angry with me all the days of your life." And I thought first it was Satan. And then I thought, no, that's Father's voice, God's voice. I didn't really know him as Father yet. But I knew that, you know, people called him Father God. And he said to me, and I said, "Okay, I have no memory, absolutely no memory." And he brought that to me right there instantly. And he showed me again, sitting there watching the black and white TV and hearing Bing Crosby sing a song, "Open Up Your Heart and Let the Sun Shine In." And he said, "Right there, you blame me for your parents' divorce." And that took me on a whole nother journey. But because I would learn later, what was it that influenced my life? Because I did not want to be a Christian. If my parents, my father divorced my mother when I was still in diapers, and he took custody of my brother and I and took us away from Washington State to Oregon State, where he raised us in Pendleton, Oregon area for several years. And because of his job and relationship with the JCs and all of the influences of life around him, it was a very normal community of loggers and ranchers and farmers and, you know, the Pendleton woolen mills and all that. But my brother and I, because of the divorce and then because of remarriage, we didn't understand the rebellion that was in our life at all. And he would make us go to the Presbyterian Church in downtown Pendleton. And we're like, you know, 8 or 9 years old, but he wouldn't go with us. And and my stepmother wouldn't go with us. That was on a rare occasion. And we would go into the basement of the church, and we would go to the classroom. We'd sit in there, and they would do flannel boards. And I would excuse myself. I'd go to the bathroom. I wouldn't come back. I'd go in the kitchen and I'd steal cookies. I'd steal out of the purse. I'd steal out of the offerings. My brother and I go up in the loft of the church, the organ loft of the church, and we'd watch the service. And then when we left there to go home, we would go to the local store and shoplift. We got caught so many times, we were banned. And so my concept of Christianity, there was no connection at all. And so to me, churches were all the same. You say something about a Bible, or it didn't make any difference to me. All you say a Christian didn't make, to me, there was no connection. I had totally blind. And then in my teen years and coming out of high school and being on my own, you know, kind of feeling my way along, I would have people witness to me, you know, Steve, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. And I'm like, I didn't understand as a seer why I would see two people talking to me. A Christian could stand there and talk to me, and I would see them, but I would see this inner person, and I would see these two components, and many times they were like, I was like, they're trying to beat somebody. They're not. I don't get it. You know, I can see they want to be a nice person, I could see both sides, and I didn't understand it at all. I just knew I did not want to be a Christian. And then when I went to churches, they were, to me, pretty bizarre. You know, I went to one with a friend, and the pastor, whatever they called them, pastor or father, whatever, Orthodox church, whatever, everybody had to go down and kneel down and kiss the ring on his hand. And I was like, this is crazy. I had no connection to God. And then as I got into went to jail, got in the drug scene, got in the alcohol scene, my life just, you know, the spiral. My life spiraled down, and I was working in Prudhoe, and I was on a week on, a week off. And in the early days before the pipeline developed, they had a hands-off policy. We could bring alcohol in our luggage, they left us alone. They wanted that pipeline built. So it was party time. We had the Teamsters brought trucks up, container trucks up, and you could buy a bottle of alcohol for $20. And it was just, you know, and so our nights were spent drugs and alcohol, and our days were working. And so that became my lifestyle. But our marriage went down, our family went down. It was chaos. And I realized that my life was spiraling out of control.
Well, as my life spiraled out of control, I tried a variety of different things like Eckankar and transcendental meditation. I had an out-of-body experience that scared the dickens out of me. I didn't understand spirit world at all. Talked to Harry Kirshner's. I talked to Jehovah Witnesses. I talked to Mormons, but nobody could answer my questions. And, you know, only concept of Jesus was, to me, an alien-type relationship, because I had no ability to connect with what people told me. Having Jesus in your heart just didn't connect. So I was going out to every night. We had a room, and we had different rooms. We'd gather, and we'd drink, and we would do cocaine, and we would do marijuana, and we'd do hash, and do hash oil, do all the different drugs. And it was just our way of spending our nights and then working during the day. And I went in the bathroom, there were two rooms sharing a bathroom. And I went in there to do what I always do, you know, after work clothes, went to comb my hair, and I metamorphosed in the mirror. I literally changed. They talk about shape shifting, and I just changed. I just watched this. I watched my whole face turn into this incredible, evil, demonic being, and
hideous, demonic being. And I was looking at myself as it changed. I looked at myself. It was evil. And this is what went through my mind. I'm 70% evil, 30% good. All I ever wanted to do was love and be loved. It's too late now. I turned and walked away and went and partied. And that hopelessness took my life over. I mean, seriously. And I tried everything, and I couldn't find an avenue out of my chaos. But every time I thought about Jesus, the only thing I ever remembered was, well, you have to ask him into your heart. And I'm thinking, that's like an alien invasion. And I'd be like you. It's like I kept these Christians to me were like two different people in one body. I just didn't get it. And I thought all churches were the same. I thought all Christians were the same. I couldn't connect to it. So I decided I wanted to know if Jesus was real. If I could figure out if he was real, I could decide if I wanted him to be a part of my life. So I didn't know anything about Bibles, but the Gideons had distributed these King James Bibles through the camps. So every room had a King James Bible. So I would go, and first thing I did when I got off work was go in my room and smoke a joint. I had to have some kind of influence, you know, cocaine or hash or do something to before I could go out in public. And I would go in my room, and I'd smoke a joint, and I'd lay on my bed with the King James Bible open and try to read it. My concept was if I could learn to read the Bible, I could decide if Jesus was real. And I didn't know anything from the, I just opened it. And I would start reading, and it just was like my brain would go like gobbledygook. I'm just like, blah. And I'd just like, oh, man, this ain't working. And I kept trying it. I don't know if it was every night or every other night, but every so often I would go in my room, smoke the joint, get out the King James Bible. Well, one night I opened up the King James Bible, and I started to read it, and I understood what I was reading. And it was just this revelation of like, oh, wow, I can finally read the Bible and understand it. And then I kept reading, and it just did the same thing. It's like my brain just went bloop. And I was like upset, frustrated, closed the Bible, threw it over my head, and I just laid there. I thought, oh, you know, I want to know if Jesus is real, but I do not want him to come into my heart. And so I'm laying there, and I put my arms over my chest, and I crunched up really, really, really tight. And I just squinted and I just said, Jesus, if you're real, come into my heart. I'm ready to fight off an alien. That's exactly where I was. That was how bizarre my mindset was. I'm just tense, waiting, and a cloud of light forms in the corner of my room right above my bed. And a voice speaks to me. The voice says, you're not ready. And when it was kind of strange because when I heard the words, I felt the words. I felt them go into me. And I thought, you're right, I'm not. And then the cloud slowly dissipated. And I laid there and thought, this was it. Okay, now I know Jesus is real. And I'm laying there and I'm thinking, huh. I was getting ready to go down and party. And I'm thinking, I'm laying there and I'm thinking, man, this is quite a different high. I've never felt, what is this emotion? I didn't understand what I was feeling. I thought of all the drugs I'd ever used. I thought about all the alcohol I'd ever drank and all the emotions that it had brought. I thought, no. I did not know that I had just experienced peace. I didn't know what peace was. And I didn't realize that everything I was searching for through drugs, through alcohol, and through relationships was that peace. I didn't know that. And so I got up off my bed and I thought, man, this, I feel like I'm high. I feel like I'm just walking on air. I had no clue, no connection. And I walked down the hallway and went to the room and partied all night. I didn't go anywhere with it. I didn't read the Bible anymore. I just pondered it. A couple months went by, and I kept thinking about my life and Jesus. And I had a friend that had been he lived in Montana. He'd come to Anchorage, and he was staying with us. And when we knew him, he and his wife and Sarah and I, we would go out to the pool halls and shoot pool and drink beer and. You know, we just lived according to the world. Well, he would start telling me about Jesus in his life, that he had gotten saved. I didn't know what it meant. You could tell me salvation, be born again, kingdom of God. It didn't mean nothing. I had no ability to process it. None. I didn't have any connection. You could talk about heaven. It didn't matter. You could talk about hell. No connection at all. No grid. Nothing to relate to it. And so he lived with us for several months, and he would always go to church on Sunday, and we'd go fishing, we'd go somewhere else, we'd go do things. But he was persistent and persistent. And finally, to get him off our backs, we agreed to go to church with him. And I was sitting in the, in this congregation. It was a non-denominational church. I was sitting in, like, they had folding picnic chairs. I don't know what you want to call them, the folding metal chairs. And that's what people had at that particular point. I don't know what songs they sang. I don't know what the pastor preached. All I know is at the end, he said, if there's anybody here that would like to invite Jesus into your life, come back to my office. So we stand up to leave, and I'm thinking, I'm going to walk back there and talk to him. I couldn't move. I was absolutely paralyzed. I couldn't move up. I was standing, and I couldn't move. And a hand came under my right elbow, a hand came under my left elbow from behind me, picked me up, and set me in the aisle. And I walked into his office and sat down. And there, that day, I said to Jesus, okay, I will ask you to come into my life and help me if you'll do it on my terms. And he said, okay. And that, and when we got home from church that day and I walked into the house, I realized my drug addiction was broken. And I pulled up my pot plants. My wife didn't even know they were pot plants. I took my marijuana and my drugs. I flushed them down the toilet. Now, nothing else in my life changed. My language, my emotions. You open up my kitchen pantry, and it was, every shelf was alcohol. And we had block parties. You know, we'd open our garage on a Friday night or Saturday night, set up picnic tables for all the alcohol out there, and everybody around the neighborhood came, and we'd all visit, and maybe some music in the background, and we all drank. And that was life, lifestyle. And when we went to Prudhoe, the next week, I had 1 week at home. The next week, I went to Prudhoe Bay, and I was like, it's amazing. I don't have a drug. I don't have any desire for drugs. I don't have any desire for, I don't understand what's going on, but I'm feeling pretty good. And I went down to the room to do the heavyweight stuff. You know, we'd smoke. Everybody passed around the marijuana. Everybody passed around the cocaine. Whatever was in, was there, everybody shared it. And I'm sitting there, and they're passing to me the drugs and everything. I just keep passing them by. I'm just sitting there, big smile on my face. And they all look at me. You know, this room is full. We got 15, 18 people sitting in there. And they said, Steve, what's going on? You're not doing any drugs tonight. And I went, oh, man, I got Jesus. you could have heard a pin drop. And then conversation shifted, and I found out, I began to understand that what people, there were people there that said, well, I was there once, you know, and then I didn't get invited back very often. So my life began to change, and I would go to church, but I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have anybody teaching me. I didn't know anything about a Bible. I had a King James Bible, and I would read it. But I had such a radical transformation. I didn't understand anything. I didn't know. I would just read the Bible. I ended up getting a cassette player in my room, and I would get up in the morning at like 5:30 in the morning, because you had to be at work at 7 and off at 7. And I would sit in my room, and I would open my Bible, and I'd turn on the music, and I would read. And the same thing if I went to bed at night. And then I found these, I felt I was led, I don't know how it happened, but I was led to the books by David Wilkerson on Teen Challenge and Nikki Cruz, and then and other people like that, that testimonies I could understand. The Bible I couldn't. I could understand parts of it, but I just couldn't understand it. So I could read testimonies, and they witnessed to me. But I was terribly, terribly driven still from anger, lust. Those things were still in my life. And I would go to a block party. I remember like 4 months into my Christianity, I would go to a block party, pour a glass of whiskey, walk around with it, and tell everybody about Jesus. That's literally where I lived. Didn't have any concept of that. And I went face to face with him all the time. I just thought everybody did. I mean, I knew his voice, and we talked, And that sounds really strange to a lot of people, but if the church understood the humanitarian side of Jesus, the Son of Man, how he walked with his disciples and talked with his disciples, and that that relationship is there for us today, not just the Jesus of Revelation 1, and I know him as that now, but just the Jesus that walked with the disciples, that's what he did with me. Because everything was on my terms. I wouldn't, when I want a conversation with Jesus, that's the way I went. He didn't force anything on me. So one day I had open visions. I didn't know what that meant. I thought everybody did. I'm standing and Jesus is standing in front of me right there face to face. And on his left side is a silver chrome garbage can and it's bright, brand new. That's what we always had. Everybody had a metal garbage can and they were all beat up from when the trash truck came by and banged them on there and we all had them. You had to bend the lid and size and everything. Here's this brand shiny chrome garbage can. Jesus has his hand on the lid. And he said to me, "That's you. This is you." He's got his hand on the lid. And he picked the lid up. And the inside of that lid was shiny and clean. And then I could look inside the garbage can and down a few inches, you know, 4, 5, 6 inches. It was all clean all the way around. And then I saw these little packages. There were packages in the garbage can. And he pointed at them. And he said, "Anytime you want to get rid of any of those, I'll take them and I'll clean it." He said, "This is a want-to relationship, not a have-to." And in that liberty, I began to speak to him about everything troubling me. Lust, anger, bitterness, it didn't matter because I had it all. And he led me to get the Jesus Person Promise pocketbook. And I could open it up to anger and I could read the scriptures because when I was out in the field working, I didn't understand anything about demonization, but I would have all these emotional, overwhelming emotional times, and I would go find a place to sit at quietly, and I'd pull out my little Jesus Purses pot, and I would start reading scriptures, and I'd read them out loud, because I knew as I read them, this emotional trauma, whatever you want to call it, would subside, and peace would come. And that became my way of living. I didn't go anywhere without it. And everywhere I was connected to, anger came, lust came, cursing, whatever, it didn't matter. Because I would turn to that word and I would read that word and that peace would come. And that's how I lived. So I was sitting in my room one day. Now, I'd had experiences like, I would lay on my bed and pray for my family. And when I would do that, lay on my bed, close my eyes, and pray for my, it was like my room would disappear. And I would just be in prayer. And I wasn't baptized in the Holy Ghost. I didn't have a prayer language. I just prayed in my understanding. And one night I'm laying on my bed. I've sat and read the Bible, getting ready to go to sleep. I lay on my bed on my face because I'm troubled for something in our marriage or family. As I'm laying on my bed, I'm gonna say a word here that you can delete if you want, but let's say it this way. A voice spoke to me and said, I don't know if it was speaking to me, but I heard it, and this voice went through my head and it said, "Get your God blank bloody hands off of me." And I mean, it was like this rage in his voice, and I thought, it just took me out of my prayer. And I thought, I just said that. And I thought, no, I wouldn't say that. And then I felt the skin on the back of my neck, on my right-hand side of my neck, I felt the skin. Because we used to pluck feathers out of geese. We hunted in the village. You had to pluck them. And you get feathers, try to pull them out, and like a barb, and they'd pull them out and finally let go. And that's what happened in my neck. I felt my skin stretch out, and then pop. And I turned to my right to look, and an angel had a demon in his hand, and he was standing up as he had pulled that out of my neck. And as he's standing up, there's no room, there's no ceiling, I don't see any walls or anything. And he's standing up, and I can see his form, I can see the hair on his head, and he stands up, and as he stands up straight, he's at least the height of the wall, and then the wall, he fades away, and the room comes back into focus. And so I knew that I didn't know anything about the demonic. I didn't know anything about anything other than what the Bible said about demons. So I would stay focused because I learned that just reading the word, reading the word, reading the word, reading the word, reading testimonies about other people who had gone through. Corrie Ten Boom was one of my heroes because when I read her story, I could identify with so much of that. And when I read Nikki Cruz and David Wilkerson, I could identify with so much of that because of the rage and the anger. And God had prevented me from murdering two men. I didn't even know he'd done it. But the circumstances later, I realized he's the one that kept me from pulling the trigger. And just those kind of things in my life. And so I'm sitting in my room in Prudhoe. It's about a year of my walk with the Lord. I'm sitting on my bed. I have my music in the background on the cassette player. I'm reading my Bible, and out of my mouth comes a ball. I mean, a ball the size of a, well, what would you think of? Bigger than a softball. It's a cluster of screaming demons. They look like, what would you call them? Demonic yellow jackets. If you could imagine a yellow jacket hornet that's in some kind of a manifested evil form, there was all of these completely tangled together. They were in a ball. It came out of my mouth, and they are screaming. And they go right out in front of me, in front of my eyes. It goes out in front of me. I'm looking at it, looking at these demons, and then it disappears. And then a smaller one comes out behind it. And I'm sitting there, you know, and kind of stunned. I know what I'm looking at. I've already seen one in a demon's hand, and I mean, in an angel's hand. And I know that sound. And I watch the second ball of demons. And I mean, there's well over 100-150 demons in those two balls go out in front of me, and then they just disappear. And I sat there waiting for some kind of significant emotional or spiritual or physical moment, and it was just calm and peaceful. And I sat and waited and waited and waited, and then Jesus spoke. I said, like, what is that? What I'm searching all of my knowledge to try and understand what just happened. And then Jesus says, washing of the water of the word. And I walked. I began a new journey in the sense of being able to walk and grow. I had incredible encounters and began to learn of Jesus as Lord. I began to learn of Jesus as Savior. I began to learn what it meant to be born again. People think I didn't know. You could use those terms, but I didn't have a grid for it. I just didn't have a grid for it. But we were 3 weeks away from divorce when I got saved. We were had a divorce date, and she got saved 2 months, I think two or three months after I got saved, and we began the journey of healing in our marriage. And I can't tell you how long it took me to go through many of the changes, but I can tell you this much. I did not know. You could tell me Father God, and I could not connect it. You could tell me Jesus is the Son of God. I could not connect it outside of the Son of Man, Jesus on the walking the earth. But you could talk to me about Jesus as a friend, and I could connect it. And then I began to connect him as a Savior. And I began to connect him as a healer. And I began to connect him as a deliverer. These different places that began to change in my life. But my relationship came through this experience of him speaking to me, because every time man talked, it was confusion. Jesus says, washing of the water of the word.
My friend, fellow brother, Steve Bergen from Alaska.
Thank you for listening to our program today. Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life.